Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Daddy, a little hand touched his father's forehead. Jonathan's father opened his eyes wide, which were fixed on the clock next to his bed. It read 3:44 a.m., that is. And he said, "Yeah, Jonathan, I need to go to the bathroom. Thanks for the update, son. Just go." Jonathan was only 4, and the family's home had just been remodeled, and the bathroom was now at the end of a long, dark hallway. And when you're 4 years old and you're wandering around in the house in the middle of the night, a new hallway can seem 5 miles long, with multiple side rooms that have giants waiting to jump out and to gobble up little kids for a midnight snack. "Daddy, yeah, Jonathan, please come with me. Thanks for the invitation, son, but for some reason I'm really tired right now. Just go, I'll be with you in spirit." And so Jonathan turned around in his little dinosaur footsie pajamas and shuffled to the bathroom. His dad heard, "Shuffle, shuffle, stop. Turn around, shuffle, shuffle, stop. Daddy, yes, Jonathan, I need someone with their skin on." Jonathan knew that dark hallways are not conquered by a promise. "I'll be with you in spirit." A mystical, abstract, impersonal, vague presence does no one any good. Jonathan needed a strong hand guiding him and a tender heart loving him. Jonathan needed someone with their skin on. Job knows a lot about long, dark hallways. Come with me to a God-forsaken ash heap, and there we see Job sitting covered with sores and scraping himself with pieces of broken pottery. All 10 of his children have died when a tornado destroyed their home. Raiding bandits from neighboring lands and lightning from the sky have taken all of his animals and all his servants. It has reduced Job from his position as the greatest man in the East to being a pitiful, ghastly sight who now scrapes himself with pieces of pottery. Any number of giants had jumped out and chewed up Job for a late night snack. On this day of days, Resurrection Day, we wrap up our sermon series on the book of Job. And how can you not finish with Job 19? And our text is this: "I know that my Redeemer lives." What's it mean? It means we aren't insulated from life's tragedies, but neither are we intimidated by them. It means we have someone to walk with us through life's long, dark, winding hallways. And he's got skin on. This verse is the Mount Everest of Job. Let's unpack verse 25. And as we climb the mountain, we begin at the first base camp. "I know." Job is living his worst nightmare. In chapter 3, verse 25, he says, "What I have feared has come upon me. What I have dreaded has happened to me." Isn't it every parent's greatest fear to lose their children? It happened to Job. And yet Job doesn't say, "I kind of think," or "I sure would like it if," or "wouldn't it be nice with," or "I'll just think positively," or "knock on wood, maybe." No way, Jose. Although Job has been severely assaulted, he's not defeated. Although he's lost much that was valuable to him, he still has what is most precious to him. Although he is down, he is not out. Job dares to confess, "I know." In our lives, there can be a lot of things that we don't know. We might not know why we had to bury the love of our life. We don't know why that child turned against us. We don't know why we lost that job or we didn't get that home. We might not know why we got sick. And many times it seems we don't know what God is doing. But instead of living in whimpering sadness and letting the giants consume us with Job, we dare to say, "I know." And I know what? I know that my Redeemer, we're getting higher. Job doesn't say his Redeemer, her Redeemer, their Redeemer, your Redeemer. No, it's personal and particular. It's intimate and individual. It's my Redeemer. In the Old Testament, a Redeemer was a close relative, someone with their skin on, who would rescue, ransom, recover, or redeem anyone who had been or would be in danger of being removed from the family by poverty, war, death, or poor economy. So, for instance, if someone had fallen into debt and had to sell himself into slavery in order to pay back that debt, the Redeemer would buy him back and would set him free. If a piece of property had to be sold, the Redeemer made sure that the title to the property remained in the family. And if a member of the family would be hurt or killed, the Redeemer would pursue the legal options and would collect the damages assessed against the offender. Whatever goes bad, your Redeemer will make good. Let me repeat that. What goes bad, your Redeemer makes good. What is broken will be mended. What is sick will be healed. What is lost will be restored. And what is dead will be made alive. And we will see this fully at the last day. But really? Yes, that's what Job 19:26 says. He says, "And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Job says, "I know my Redeemer, and Jesus is his name." And he's not a mystical, abstract, or impersonal, vague idea. Jesus has a strong hand guiding us and a tender heart loving us when we are faced with a long, dark hallway. And as our Redeemer, he comes not simply to see that justice is done, but that mercy is given. Jesus bears what needs to be borne, and he carries what needs to be carried. He does what it takes to set us free, even if it means giving up his life for ours. Jesus forgives my guilt. Jesus destroys my grave. Jesus makes me part of God's family through his death and resurrection in your place, in my place. He has bought us back. He has brought us into God's family. And he did it all with skin on. Skin that felt the Roman whip at Gabbatha. Skin that felt the hot Palestinian sun as he carried his cross along the Via Dolorosa. Skin that felt the thorns on his head and the hammering of the nails into his hands and feet. Skin and muscles and nerves that for 6 hours held on to a cross all alone in a long, dark, God-forsaken hallway called Golgotha. And you can bet there were giants who jumped out and chewed Jesus up like a late-night snack. Romans, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, and then, of course, Satan, who stalked our Savior, took aim, shot straight, and killed. 3 days later, this cry rocked the world. I know that my Redeemer lives. Now we stand on the top of the world. We see it all. The angels announced, he is alive. John outruns Peter to the tomb. Mary cries out, Rabboni. The Emmaus disciples see him in the breaking of the bread, like we will in a little bit. And when he saw the scars of the living Redeemer, Thomas cries out, my Lord and my God. Death is dead. The grave is defeated. The free gift of eternal life is absolutely yours today and forever and ever. And there's more. People saw Jesus literally. They didn't see a phantom or a ghost or experience a sentiment or feeling in the heart. Grave eulogies often have words like these. She'll live on in my heart. Or every time I see a butterfly, that's him saying hello to me. Christ's followers didn't say this. That's because they saw him in the flesh. And that's because Jesus was factually and physically resurrected from the dead. And because he lives, you will live also. And there's a word for this. all of this. Grace, His undeserved mercy and kindness. Grace is the amazing gift that God gives us that says even when it's wrong, all around us, at the very core of our lives, we really are the most wrong. It's all right because God forgives all our sins. Grace is the gift of power, the power to be freed to be the person God wants us to be and is making us to be in Jesus Christ through His Word and sacraments. Grace is the promise that on the days when we can barely cope with what's going on in life, and you know those days, that we can carry within us the faith that God does all things for our good in Christ Jesus. Grace is the love poured out for us so that all our debts are paid, we're released from slavery, and our brokenness is repaired. And what's it all mean? It means that whatever your dark hallway looks like, and whatever your giants are saying, you don't walk alone. Why is that? We sang, He lives, oh glory to His name. He lives, my Jesus, all the same. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Now may the grace of God and the peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in and with Christ Jesus, the one who has triumphed over the grave. Amen.